Lecture topic, lessons of Surah Mulk.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhin istafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثروا ذكر هازم اللذات الموت أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama kiram, brothers and elders. What was recited was the first ayat of Surah Mulk. Today the effort would be to try to understand some of the lessons in this very great surah of the Quran Sharif. In one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has mentioned the virtue of the surah, that in the Quran sharif there's one surah which has 30 verses and it will intercede on behalf of the one who recites it and will continue to do so until he is released from Jahannam and admitted into Jannah. In other words, if he perchance, despite his iman, due to his wrong deeds, didn't gain forgiveness initially, the surah will eventually intercede and have him released. And if he was more fortunate, he had been more practical on the surah. In one hadith it is mentioned that when he is laid in his grave, and the angels will come to interrogate him, and they will come to take him to task for his actions, then when they would come from the side of his legs, the surah will come in the way and say that, look, you got no chance from getting to him from this end because he used to recite me in the dunya. And then they would try to come from the sides and the surah would come again and prevent the person from being interrogated in that way. Say, well, he used to keep reciting me in dunya, so you got no chance from the right and left. When they come from the head side, again the surah will appear. Say, look, I am here to protect him. Hence in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself called it munjiya. The surah is munjiya. Tunjihi min adab al qabr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it will save him from the fire of Jahannam. One hadith is mentioned that one sahabi once was traveling somewhere and he had to now stop somewhere, so he pitched a tent to rest. He didn't realize that there was a grave there, because that grave over time might have just got flattened. So now when he pitched that tent and he went into rest, he suddenly heard somebody reciting Quran Sharif. When he realized that this is coming from under the ground, that's when he realized it's a grave. And then he came and reported it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I pitched this tent in a place where I didn't know there was a grave under. But then I heard the person in the grave reciting the surah Mulk, until he completed the entire surah. So the entire surah he heard the person of the grave reciting. Now the grave is not a place of amal, but this is Allah Ta'ala's grace with some servants of his, like the incident of Sabit Bunani rahimahullah, mentioned on some other previous occasion, that when somebody was buried in the grave next to him, but the person, one of the people involved in the burial, he dropped his purse in the grave by mistake and only realized it after the burial was over. Then after thinking carefully, he realized it can only be in that grave. He went to late at night, dig the grave up to retrieve his purse, his wallet. And after opening the grave, when he got there to the wallet, the wall in between that grave and the neighboring grave, in which was Sabit Bunani rahimahullah, the special student of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. So to his surprise, that wall part of it had collapsed. And as a result, he could see in the neighboring grave. And he sees he's standing and performing salah in his grave. And this was quite a surprise. So later on he came and he mentioned this, that look, this is what happened. I went to retrieve my wallet that had fallen, but this is what I witnessed. So they then went to his wife and inquired, that was there anything special about your husband? Then eventually they explained, why we're asking this. So she said, well, he used to make this dua, that, Ya Allah, if ever you allow anybody to perform salah in the grave, please give me this great bounty. What attachment they may have been with salah, what zeal they may have been to now communicate with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala while standing in salah. Unfortunately, because of this weakness and this dunya that overwhelms us, we either find it a burden to get to the masjid for salah, and if we somehow made it, then we are trying to finish off as quickly as possible to move away back and move to sometimes nothing of importance, just futility, just to go and spend time having some hearty conversation outside, just to go and spend time and just to socialize with friends and whatever else. And as a result, that salah was now just performed, number one, the bare minimum. Any aspect of any thought of some nawafil, that is very far away from us. Whereas that is a very important aspect, that some nafil also should be part of our day. And especially after the Isha Salah. After the Isha Salah, the next Salah is Fajr, but the very, very important nafil in between is Tahajjud. And very great rewards for Tahajjud. Now many a person finds that I don't think I can make it for Tahajjud. The least we can do is Qiyamul Layl. And the Fuqaha stated, كُلُّ مَا سُلِّيَ بَعْدَ الْإِشَىٰ فَهُوَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. Every nafil performed after Isha is part of Qiyamul Layl. It's not exactly the Tahajjud, the late part of the night. But inshallah, the minimum benefits of it will be achieved. So now after the two rakats of, now we performed our Isha Salah, after Isha two rakats sunnats. So after the sunnats, to take another few minutes, 3 minutes it might take, to perform another two rakats of nafil with the niyat of Qiyamul Layl. And make the niyat of Salatul Tawbah in it also. The whole day has passed. Allah knows best what not we slipped up in. How many times we spoke things that were not in order. Where our eyes have been. What have we been listening to. Where our heart and mind has been. How many times throughout the day we've been now away from where we should have been. So now in the two rakats niyat of Salatul Tawbah. Ya Allah, this whole day passed in this haphazard manner. So many times I've slipped up. So now this niyat, Ya Allah, I'm repenting from all this. And then Salatul Shukr, make the same. This is, subhanallah, Allah's grace in the two rakats nafil, but there's multiple niyats in the nawafil can be made. Now such an easy method of attaining so much. In the two rakats, which will take him 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes, if he did it very well. And in that, he got his Qiyamul Layl. Now what is the virtue of Qiyamul Layl? So in one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Alaykum bi Qiyamil Layl, fa innahu da'bu as-salihin qablakum. This is the path of all the pious people before. Every person of any closeness to Allah Ta'ala, there was never such a person that had any closeness to Allah Ta'ala and didn't have the salah of the night as part of his life. Now tahajjud was the way of the pious. This is one minimal level, Qiyamul Layl. So now, we are not anywhere close to that rank of the people of piety, but we emulate them a little by also bringing these nawafil in our life. Inshallah, we'll get closer to them too. And closer to Allah Ta'ala, that's the goal, obviously. So, عَلَيْكُمْ بِقِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ فَإِنَّهُ دَأْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ قَبْلَكُمْ وَمُكَفِّرَةٌ لِسَيِّئَاتِ وَمَطْرَدَةٌ لِشَيَاطِينَ وَمَرْضَاتٌ لِلْرَبِّ. It becomes a means of forgiveness of the sins. It dispels the shayateen. It's a means of earning Allah's pleasure. So subhanallah, so much to take. Now in the two rakats, he got Salatul Tawbah as well. What a great thing. How much we should be making Tawbah, now we got the two. Plus how many countless bounties of Allah Ta'ala we enjoyed throughout the day. We didn't make shukr. So now I got Salatul Shukr in it. And so many other niyats can be combined. So in any case, this aspect of some nawafil as well should be part of our life. So we are talking about this aspect about Suratul Mulk, and in this sahabi, he pitched up this tent and he heard this entire surah being recited. So on that occasion he came and he explained to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what I heard, this entire surah this person in the grave recited. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this said, innaha hiyal mani'a wa hiyal munjiya. The surah is a protector and it's a savior, and it saves a person from the azab of qabr. The azab of qabr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was ma'soom, who was sinless. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, from the time that this was told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is a reality of azab al qabr, punishment in the grave, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeatedly seek Allah ta'ala's protection from the azab of qabr. Now who are we talking about? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala's ma'soom Nabi, the greatest of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. And he's seeking protection from the azab of qabr. And daily, how many times in the day we seek protection from the azab of qabr? These are things that we have to start bringing into our lives. Because this is a reality. And when death comes, we have no idea. And then in one riwayat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that he would not go to bed until he had recited Suratul Mulk and Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's entire day was filled with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. His night was filled with lengthy rakats of salah and reciting lengthy portions of the Quran Sharif. And standing for such long durations in one rakat, that his feet would swell out of that motionless standing for a lengthy period in one spot. So as a result, the circulation gets a little bit affected, and that results in swelling. A whole day in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, this is the way the nights were spent, and still Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took this care that he would not go to bed without having first made sure until he has recited Surah Mulk and Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. Now these are lessons for us. This is our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is his amal. This is his way that he's leaving this lesson for us. But we don't have any time. We are so busy, we have no time. As a result, where are we going to find time to fit this in? Because all the time, as many times we keep talking about this, and we'll have to keep talking about it, that all the time, and a good chunk of our day is in screen time. So the screen time took over, we have to know about the whole world, what's going on, in finer detail, and then one is something of some substance, all the futility, Allah forbid, a good amount of haram involved in it. As a result, where is going to be the time to recite Surah Mulk, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't go to bed until he recited it. And what was his day? What was his night? Yet this was the care he took about reciting these two surahs. So, this path is not just a matter of just talks and just some speaking and listening. It's a matter of action. Matter of bringing things into our lives. Some improvement, some steps forward. So this is a very, very important surah. And in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is my heart's desire that this surah be in the heart of every mu'min. The surah Mulk be in the heart of every mu'min. So if we haven't yet by-hearted it, we just look inside and read it daily. Inshallah, within a few weeks, without effort, it would have become part of memory. a few weeks, month, 2 months, inshallah, won't take more than that. But this is fulfilling the heart's desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in any case, just to touch on a few ayat, and to just take the lessons that are there, the whole Quran Sharif is there for our ibrat, and to bring alive the realities in our heart, that why are we here in dunya, where are we headed to, what is our purpose. So in any case, the first ayat, this surah commences with, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Glorious is that being in whose control is all kingdom. Now this is the opening verse of Surah Mulk. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. Glorious is that being in whose control is all kingdom. Kingdom of who? Not the small kingdoms of dunya. The kingdom of the entire universe. This is in the control of Allah Ta'ala. And وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah has complete qudrat and power over everything. Now this is the first ayat, and these surahs were among the early surahs. This is part of the surahs that are makkiyah, that were revealed before hijrat. Prior to hijrat was in the early days of Islam. And in the early days, the ayat of the Quran Sharif generally that were revealed in the earlier days were the ayat that were pertaining to developing the correct yaqeen, the correct conviction, developing the correct aqaid. And ahkam and the laws of deen by and large came after hijrat. Prior to hijrat was about tawheed, about the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the sifat and attributes of Allah ta'ala, and the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the aspects of akhirat, that akhirat is coming as well. Prepare for the day of qiyamah, prepare for your qabr, prepare for the hereafter. These realities, where the by and large the emphasis was on this, correcting the heart, removing all the things that are against iman, cleansing the heart out of all shirk and of all the other corruption. So now this ayat is coming in this early period. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. Glorious is that being in whose control is all kingdom. And if a person has this firm yaqeen in his heart, that all kingdom belongs to Allah Ta'ala, and the control of every kingdom and the entire universe is Allah Ta'ala, then it will never ever, he'll never ever be overawed or even impressed in any way with, no matter who has what kingdom. No matter who has what kingdom, when he's going to leave from this world, he's going to go empty handed. And no matter what he has, but it's all in the control of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And as far as this dunya is concerned, this dunya has no value in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. We just see the figures just get a little bit longer, our eyes start popping out. And if it gets even longer, then sometimes our heart is popping out. But what is this dunya really? This dunya is now, that's all. And just now, later, if life goes, what's this dunya all about? How many people left everything behind? And in one moment, they just had no idea that they were already still sitting and planning the next 50 years, maybe 20 years. The next moment they were gone. Agah apni maut se koi bashar nahi, saman 100 baras ka pal ki khabar nahi. So he's already amassed enough for 100 years. Amassed enough for 100 years. But he doesn't know what's going to happen the next moment. 100 years is still already sorted out. The next moment is gone. So in any case, this preparation for akhirat. Now, this yaqeen, if this yaqeen is in the heart of a person, that all kingdom belongs to Allah Ta'ala, then he's not going to now be concerned about all these things too much. He's going to be concerned about what's going to please Allah Ta'ala. In one hadith, a Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says, أَنَ اللَّهُ Now, whatever the halat are in our own surroundings, whether it is in our country, whether it is anywhere in the world, we have to see things in the light of the Quran Sharif, in the light of the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then reflect upon ourselves. Often, when we reflect, we try to reflect for others. And we even sometimes wonder that, I hope that person takes a message. But I need to reflect, we forget about that. I need to check my life, where am I? So now this is the need of reflection. So in this hadith al-Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says, hadith al-Qudsi is that hadith where the wording also is inspired, was inspired to the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the other ahadith, the context or the mazmoon and the message and lesson that was inspired to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and he expressed it in his words. And then the Quran Sharif is apart from this, that came via Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and that was something totally on a different level. In the hadith al-Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says, "Ana Allah, I am Allah, la ilaha illa ana, there is no deity besides me." And then Allah Ta'ala says, "Malikul muluk wa malikul muluk." Now, tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. Allah is the owner of all kingdom. So here in this hadith also Allah Ta'ala says, "Malikul muluk wa malikul muluk." I am the owner of all kingdoms. And I am the king of all kings. Then Allah Ta'ala says, "Qulubul muluki fi yadi." All these kings, their hearts are in my hand. In one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna quluba bani Adam bayna isba'ayn min asabi'ir rahman yuqallibuha kayfa yasha." That the hearts of insan, now this is not meant literally, Allah Ta'ala is beyond any comparison and beyond any likeness to the creation, but an explanation for us to understand in a way that, an expression for us to understand in a way that we will be able to relate to. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the hearts of insan are between the fingers of Allah Ta'ala. As mentioned, Allah has got no likeness. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. This is meant to, for us to understand that it's totally in Allah's control. And Allah turns it as He wishes. Now many times, we try to turn the hearts of people towards us or whatever. But if we don't turn to Allah Ta'ala, we can't turn anything. We have to turn to Allah Ta'ala. So in this hadith also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah Ta'ala says, "Qulubul muluki fi yadi." The hearts of kings are in my control. And then what? "Innal ibada idha ata'uni." Now this is a point of reflection. And not for me to reflect about others. For me to reflect about my own self. That where do I fall in the light of these aspects that are mentioned in this hadith sharif? "Innal ibada idha ata'uni." When my servants obey me, "Hawwaltu quluba mulukihim alayhim birra'fati warrahma." Then I will turn the hearts of their kings towards them with compassion and mercy. And then further Allah Ta'ala says, "Wa innal ibada idha asawni." And if my servants will be disobedient to me. Now generally, on a general scale, what is the dominant situation? On an individual scale, if a person individually, he's doing what he's fulfilling his responsibilities, then on an individual matters, he'll enjoy the benefit of it. But in collective matters, he'll also be part of the problem that it comes. If the dominant aspect in the community, in the ummah, is that of disobedience. So now, if what is dominant is the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala says, "Hawwaltu qulubahum bisakhtati wa niqma." I will turn the hearts of the kings against them with anger and revenge. And then what will happen? "Fasamuhum su'al adab." They will inflict a very severe punishment upon them. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَجْغَلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ بِالدُّعَاءِ عَلَى الْمُلُوكِ. Don't waste your time cursing the kings, because that's not going to help you. Because the king's hearts are in Allah's control. So that's not going to be of any benefit to you or anybody. وَلَكِنْ اِجْغَلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ بِالذِّكْرِ وَالتَّدَرُّعِ. Again, the point of reflection. Involve yourself in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and beseeching Allah Ta'ala. Zikr of Allah Ta'ala, remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, His obedience. That is the highest level of zikr. The obedience of Allah Ta'ala. That is what the entire purpose of zikr is. To bring a person's entire life onto the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. So in other words, become obedient to Allah Ta'ala. Obedient to Allah Ta'ala, make your heart obedient to Allah Ta'ala. Make your tongue obedient to Allah Ta'ala. Don't lie, don't backbite. Don't use vulgarity. Don't speak things that are offensive. Don't hurt people with your tongue. And this is not just applicable only if outside. Starts off at home. Make the eyes obedient to Allah Ta'ala. What are the eyes looking at? Make the ears obedient to Allah Ta'ala. Make the heart and mind obedient to Allah Ta'ala. At the time of Fajr, wake up and fulfill the command of Allah Ta'ala. Likewise, Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. In one's business, be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. In one's social life, be conscious of what Allah Ta'ala's commands are. And in all aspects of life, all this falls under the dhikr. That become obedient to Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا نَقِنِشْ خَلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ بِالذِّكْرِ. And together with that, what تَدَرُّعُ. تَدَرُّعُ. Beseech Allah Ta'ala. One is to ask, the other is to beg, and the third thing is to beg desperately. Unfortunately, we sometimes don't even ask, we just recite. So we haven't even started off asking, let alone begging, and let alone beseeching. Sometimes a person is in such desperation, nowadays sometimes on some street corners or wherever in the middle of the road, somebody now is begging for a few coins, but now just melt the heart of somebody passing by, he's on his knees. How many times you see this kind of scene nowadays? That person is not just standing on the road now and standing very humbly, he's on his knees, literally on his knees. The purpose is gone on his knees, he's trying to now just really melt the heart of that passerby, that look now please just pay something. That person is ready to humble himself in such a way in front of makhluk, in front of creation. But the makhluk is not ready to humble themselves in front of Khaliq. The days go by, weeks go by, months go by, but we haven't begged Allah Ta'ala. And sometimes we have a problem, Allah forbid, we already trying to figure out now, how can I get the bank manager to sort this out? Like the bank manager with the la'nat of Allah Ta'ala that he's dishing out, he's going to sort the problem out for us. How we can try and cut corners somewhere to get it sorted out? Cutting corners will only cut it worse. The solution and the prescription to the solution is what is mentioned in this hadith sharif. وَلَكِنِ اجْغَلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ بِالذِّكْرِ وَالتَّدَرُّعُ كَيْ أَكْفِيَكُمْ مُلُوكَكُمْ. Allah says, I will take care of your rulers for you. If they are corrupt, I'll change them. Whatever it is, I'll sort it out for you. But for you, meaning now that the dominant situation must become such that people have turned to Allah Ta'ala's obedience. And those who are not yet fully there, then that effort is still being made to get them also on that track. It starts off each one of us with ourselves. Turn to Allah Ta'ala. Beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Beg Allah Ta'ala's help. Beg Allah Ta'ala's kindness and nusrat upon the entire ummah. So now, I need to reflect upon myself, how much I am doing this. How much of my life is in Allah's obedience. How much of my time is spent in a day. How many minutes? 10 minutes? 5 minutes? 3 minutes? Beseeching Allah Ta'ala. Checking within myself, what I have to improve. Certain things just carry on. It's part of life now, so what does it matter? We know what we're doing wrong. But there's no effort. There's sometimes because there's no effort to try and change it or to want to change it. So we don't even make tawbah and istighfar on it. And if moth comes in that condition, what will we live with? That despite being conscious of that fact and reality, I was doing these things which are wrong. I didn't even bother to ask Allah's forgiveness. Okay, whether I will not do it tomorrow or not is another matter. But that regret in the heart, this shouldn't be the case. I shouldn't be doing this. I must change it. Beg Allah's forgiveness. Tomorrow Allah forbid, if it slips up again, tomorrow we'll repeat it. But there will be no intention to do it tomorrow. So in any case, this Hadith Sharif highlights this aspect that look, don't get caught up in all this worrying about that now, who is this power and that power, is all these powerless powers. All power and might belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And to the extent that we'll turn our attention from this, and turn our attention to what Allah ta'ala has declared in the Quran Sharif, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءَ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءَ. Say, O Allah, مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ, the owner of all sovereignty and kingdom. Everything Allah's controlled. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءَ. You give kingdom to whom you wish. It's in your control. And وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءَ. And you snatch away kingdom from who you wish. And sometimes the corrupt get the kingdom because of what has been mentioned in that Hadith Sharif. They become the stick. But doesn't mean the stick is any better. The stick is sometimes worse off. But the stick becomes the stick because others have become what they've become. تَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَكْ. This has to settle deeply in the heart. We are so overcome and overwhelmed with all the news that floods around us and has flooded our minds and flooded our hearts. And we keep repeatedly reading that propaganda and we keep getting so overawed with all the things of dunya and all the very flashy things, all the paper things that have been put in front for the dunya to get scared with. But in that process, we forgot the Creator. Forgot Allah Ta'ala. It all happens with the will of Allah Ta'ala. So the primary thing is we have to connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. And when that will be the case, then whatever is in a person's disposal, Allah will put barakat in it. What is best he can do, Allah will make that effective. And Allah Ta'ala will cause that kind of situation to come. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many a small number of people overcame a huge number, but when it happened, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, with the permission of Allah Ta'ala, with the command of Allah Ta'ala. So the bottom line is to become Allah's and to gain Allah Ta'ala's help. So in any case, this is the opening verse of Surah Mulk, and in this we are being taught this iman. They turn the attention to Allah Ta'ala. And then the next ayat, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah is that being who has created death and life. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ. Allah created death and life. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. So that He will test you. And who does the best of actions? Now the question that comes is that life comes before death. But Allah says created death and life. So Allah Ta'ala created death and life because to live life correctly, remember death all the time. So before even mentioning life, Allah Ta'ala reminds us of death. That remember death is coming. Don't think life is here forever. Nobody's in dunya forever. Life will continue in the akhirat. That will never end. But dunya, nobody's here forever. So while we are here in dunya, keep death in front. And every morning, remind oneself that this number one, make shukr. Allah give me one more opportunity. I don't know whether I'll survive this day. One more opportunity to turn to Allah Ta'ala. To make tawbah, to repent, to make amends. But now I have to remind myself that if today is my last day of life, then how will I want to pass my last day? If perchance somebody had to be told for sure, nobody will know. Till that last breath, he won't know. If perchance somebody gets some indication, wallahu alam. But only Allah knows when is the appointed moment of each person. But if somebody had to be somehow told, today is going to be your last day, imagine how we'll pass that day. How we'll conduct ourselves. So now today, if it was my last day, I'm going to have to carry on with day-to-day life. I'm still going to have to carry on, go to work, attend to my business, whatever other things. But will I dare commit any sin if I knew that today is my last day? So now that's how to pass that day. But remember, maybe tomorrow might be already in the qabr. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. And this entire life is لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. It's a test. Test from Allah Ta'ala. Who does the best of actions? Dunya is Darul Amal. And the hereafter is Darul Jaza. This is the place of actions. And the recompense and reward is Akhirat. But Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy, that the barakat of it comes in dunya already. So the issue is to turn to Allah Ta'ala and beg Allah's forgiveness. Just to touch on one more ayat, planning to speak on few other ayat, but just now this was the opening ayat. The second ruku of the surah, Allah Ta'ala mentioned in this ayat that هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور. Allah Ta'ala made this earth subservient for you. In other words, earth, Allah made it conducive for our living. It's neither liquid like water, we can't walk on it, we'll sink and drown. It's not so hard like concrete and rock that you can't even plant anything, and there's no cultivation, no vegetation. That too will be the end of life. Allah Ta'ala made it such that you can walk comfortably but soft enough to plant that seed that brings out such a soft shoot and can come through the soil. And so many other things Allah Ta'ala made this earth completely conducive for this insan to live his life. But now Allah says, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ. Walk on this earth and earn your risk. Now the lesson here is, when it comes to the matter of earning one's risk, this is just the crux of the ayat that is being explained, that walk on the earth and acquire a risk also. When it comes to acquiring risk, the Quran Sharif says, فَمْشُوا, walk. Walk. Don't just sit and just dream now that everything will just happen by dreaming about it. We have been given the ability to make an effort. So walk, make an effort. Everybody knows what the concept of walking is all about. Person says, I took a walk, there's a certain picture in the mind. Person walking at a certain pace is walking. And elsewhere in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says that فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. When the time of Jumu'ah comes, فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Hasten towards the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, towards Salah. And now leave all this bay and trade and business aside. When it comes to the a'mal of deen, Allah Ta'ala says, hasten towards it. Don't delay. When it comes to earning dunya, go, make an effort. Don't sit and dream about it. Make an effort. But, famshu, walk. Meaning the effort for dunya, is not with that zeal and passion that should be for deen. Deen has to be with a zeal that the time, subhanAllah, almost coming close to time. I already have to start getting ready to move. And dunya got few minutes late, no problem. When it comes to a'mal, in the hadith sharif also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Badiru bil a'mali fitanan, ya qita'i layl al muzlim. Hasten towards a'mal before fitnas come. Hasten. Unfortunately, our whole story is upside down. When it comes to dunya, we run out of the masjid because we are getting late. When it comes to deen, then we're taking our time and coming to the masjid. And sometimes not even coming. When it comes to the entertainment of dunya, and you find the person running out, why? He needs to know the scores. Allah forbid, on the day of Qiyamah, we'll know what score we, what we scored. So when it comes to dunya, that has to be at a moderate level of effort to earn halal rizq. Moderate level of effort, famshu. Moderate level of effort to earn halal rizq. And deen we must hasten towards. Meaning now that should be the priority of life. That is what we should be concerned about. Making an extra effort. But deen, Quran Sharif, tilawat, it might not even happen. But dunya and screen time and social media, that will never ever miss out. Hours will go past. Everything has gone opposite, as it should be, the opposite of it. And we need to change that. All these aspects are meant and discussed, not just for the sake of discussing it. I need to make changes in my life. All of us, the purpose of these discussions, these gatherings, is that we have to try and start taking steps forward to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Make tawbah, make istighfar, make Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Make positive changes, one step at a time. But every day, today, what am I going to do? One new sunnat that is not in my life. New in the sense that I'm even acquainted with the sunnat, but I'm not practicing on it. So what am I going to do? I can't think of it. Let me open one kitab, of authentic kitab on sunnats. Okay, today I'm going to start practicing on this sunnat. Okay, chalo, for the whole week, the same sunnat I'll practice on. To make it part of my life. This particular aspect, I'm using my tongue very, very freely and talking nonsensical things, vulgarities are also getting spewed out. How can I carry on like this? Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat, such a great bounty of Allah Ta'ala. I take Allah Ta'ala's name with this tongue, and now I'm soiling it this way. I'm going to stop this. Make tawbah, make istighfar. Think about something daily. Spend 3 minutes, 2 minutes, reflect, ponder. And as mentioned, we all often reflect for others, reflect for ourselves. This muraqabah and this reflection will inshallah open up new horizons for us. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make dhikr for a few minutes and dua. Said Guru Shriya. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا illallah, la ilaha 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 illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحبيب الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا أرحم الراحمين Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, shower your rahmat on the ummah, Ya Allah. Shower your maghfirat on the ummah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us and the entire ummah totally obedient to you, Ya Allah. Make us your loyal servants and slaves, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us those who are forever in your remembrance, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from all the disobedience, Ya Allah. Save us from all the fitna and fasad, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your love, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the love of deen, Ya Allah. With the love of the a'mal of deen, Ya Allah. With the love of the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. Accept us and our progeny in al-qiyamah, Ya Allah. With the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. With ikhlas, with afiyat, with qabooliyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Make deen the priority in our lives, Ya Allah. Make our life focused towards deen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to hasten towards the a'mal of deen, Ya Allah. Enable us to hasten towards things that will benefit us in deen, Ya Allah. That will bring us closer to you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Remove the love of dunya from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the love of the ego from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the pride, malice, jealousy, the arrogance, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove all the evil qualities, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with all the noble qualities, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make our complete Islam and tazkiyah with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill our hearts with yaqeen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill it with total yaqeen, Ya Allah. That you are the controller, Ya Allah. You alone have all power, Ya Allah. Almighty is with you alone, Ya Allah. Nobody has nothing, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill our hearts with this yaqeen, Ya Allah. Enable us to beseech you, Ya Allah. Enable us to turn to you, Ya Allah. In every situation and every matter, Ya Allah. Allah, let our hearts be focused towards you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we've made ourselves zaleel and disgraced in front of makhluk, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, this is due to us turning away from you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of coming back to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, take us out of this disgrace, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bring us onto the izzat of turning to you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima. Remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Those in any kind of difficulties and hardships, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Those who are in debts, Ya Allah, make their debts get paid out with ease and afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us to recite, perform our 5 times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. With khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Enable us to recite the Quran Sharif in abundance daily, Ya Allah. Keep us forever in your remembrance, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from all the wastage of time on the social media, Ya Allah. Allah, all the evils that we are getting involved in, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from the trap of shaitan, Ya Allah. Save us from the deception of nafs, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, enable us to occupy our time in a manner that you are pleased with us, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who asked us to make dua for them, all who have raised his hands with this dua, Ilahul Alameen, forgive all one and all, Ya Allah. Fulfill each one's pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, our greatest need is to become yours, Ya Allah. Allah, make us yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. Allah, make us those who are prepared for death, Ya Allah. You grant us preparation of death, Ya Allah. At the time of maut, take us with iman, Ya Allah. With kamil iman, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us with khatma bil khair, Ya Allah. Every mu'min bless with khatma bil khair, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make our qabr's gardens of Jannah for us, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us the shafa'at of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, save us from the azab of the qabr, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from the azab of the qabr, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us Jannah without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all that we have asked for, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. What we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, grant us that also without asking, Ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين